The smart ones are here.
And the smart ones are here. Okay, welcome everyone. We are convening today's House Revenue Committee. The important members are here. We have a number of a couple of things that we're going to be talking about today, and I'm going to open. Should I open them both together?
They're different issues.
Okay, I will open a public hearing on House Bill 4177. We got Christine to introduce it.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4177, you have the dash one amendment in front of you. Basically, it allows the counties to reduce the amount they expend on their assessment and taxation function. This amount usually is certified in a budget with by the Department of Revenue in the beginning of the year, and it determines the allocation. It goes into a formula to determine the allocation of the funds in the county assessment assistance or the CAFA account. And so this allows the counties to reduce their expenditures by 15% and not have it affect their CAFA allocations negatively. And this would apply to some counties who have more than 10% of their revenue coming from the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act. And so this there's some question about the definition of revenue. It was kind of brought to our attention that there's no statutory definition of a general fund per se, but so this just refers to all revenues in a county. That would include revenues for road funds or any other sources of revenues in that county, and it would compare the amount that came from the Secure Rural Schools Act to that total amount of revenue. It's estimated right now that that would affect about 14 counties. The amendment allows the reductions in expenditures to happen for the fiscal year 11-12 and 2012-13, as opposed to the original bill, which just applied to 1 year. Also, the amendment allows the expenditures to be reduced by 15%, whereas the original bill only allowed those expenditures to be reduced by 10%. And in all of this, the county must adequately provide the services needed to comply with the laws on assessment and taxation. Also, there's constitutional requirements that taxpayers be assessed equally and treated equally and uniformly. The measure is technically has no revenue impact. It actually just affects expenditures and also the fiscal impact on the introduced version was no expenditure impact. There is not an official fiscal impact statement on the Dash 1 amendment yet, but it's probably anticipated to be no expenditure impact.
Okay. Questions for Christine? Let's bring forward Gil Rydell and Alex Kyler to talk about this. This was apparently a work group product. Discussion of our sort of emergencies that are facing certain counties within our state.
And Chair members of the committee.
Just go ahead.
Could I just a moment just point out that these both of these bills are really the product of the work done by the Joint Committee on County Funding. That obviously arose in part because the counties raised those issues, but while they were introduced by the Rules Committee, they actually have their genesis from that other committee.
And they have been discussed in the past by this committee, some of the issues around CAFA and the county payments piece. So, gentlemen, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Gil Rydell, Association of Oregon Counties. This particular measure is a rebirth of House Bill 3532 from the 2007 session, so it's been on the books. That bill was adopted, had 1 year life. This has been updated. The standards are very similar. As your staff said, it provides that during the course of the year, after a county that is qualified for or has had their budget, proposed budget for property tax administration certified by the Department of Revenue, that during the course of the year, if the county finds that it needs to spend more money on, for example, public services and needs to adjust the assessment of taxation funding downward a little bit, that this would permit it to do that if the county were one of those defined as dependent on Secure Rural Schools Act money in 2007 to the extent of at least 10% of their revenue, and that the county will agree that it will not reduce its A&T spending more than 15%. It must, however, at the same time, be working with the Department of Revenue to make sure that department's outcome-based understanding of the reduction in the budget is not does not find that the county is going out of compliance during that year with minimum standards of uniformity and equality in the assessment taxation area. This is not a long-term solution, hence the short time frame here, but it's something to get us into 2013. We're going to have to be working with you on deeper issues, public finance reform, both at the state and county level, need attention. So this is a means to provide some infusion of resources, if necessary, during the course of the year for counties that otherwise had qualified for the CAFA funding.
Thank you, Gil.
Thank you, Chair Berger, Co-Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. I'm Alex Kyler. I'm Lane County's Intergovernmental Relations Manager, and I'd like to thank the committee for entertaining this bill and the Dash 1 amendment. Lane County is in favor of both these bills. Before you, I've submitted some testimony from our assessor, Annette Spickard. There's also some additional pages that she provided to Representative Barnhart specifically about 10 days ago, but was also distributed at the County Payments Task Force, and it started to stimulate this conversation that has culminated in the measure before you. So very much appreciate the short turnaround time to get this kind of relief. The Lane County is was identified as one of the hard-hit timber counties when the previous county payments task force was at work under Governor Kulongoski back in 2009. We were lucky enough to see some federal reauthorization of secure rural schools in late 2008 that allowed us to maintain our funding for the next 4 years. We've just now received our last payment under the Secure Rural Schools Act. But advocacy is ongoing in Congress. You may have seen some recent news. There is money in the president's budget, for example. There's a placeholder, if you will, for money to be spent for the program. And in both the House and the Senate, there are measures that are being contemplated. Thus, the hope, at any rate, that this is indeed just a one-year permission to have some flexibility with regards to the CAFA fund. Just to point out the importance of the assessment function for local governments. In Lane County, for example, the assessor collects for 83 separate taxing districts. Over $400 million of property taxes are collected through her office, and between 9 and 10% of that fund actually comes back to the county. The rest is distributed out to the taxing districts. Thus, this is really what we're beginning to see with the absence of the federal funding, is as these programs become unfunded, it's sort of like pulling a thread on a sweater, and things can really become unraveled rather quickly. If, for example, the assessor was unable to effectively collect dollars, it affects a great number of other taxing districts. It also affects the state. There was some other discussion about, in the worst-case scenario, you'd have to replace, essentially, the local assessor's office with Department of Revenue staff. And at least the sense was, let's try to have that as the last resort and this kind of thing as the first solution. So, again, we see this as a temporary fix. Obviously, we will do our best in the situation that exists in Lane County to meet these standards. Our administrator has actually directed her departments to submit cuts of 25%, and thus you heard Gil talk a little bit about the old bill that had a 10% reduction. She asked me to try to seek at least a 15%, so we've got a little bit more leeway there, but obviously we've still got that requirement to meet the standards that DOR has and that exist in statute. So it will be a collaborative way forward here, moving into our next fiscal year, and with your support of this bill, you'll be a partner in it.
Thank you. I'm going to ask John Phillips to come up and join you and let him speak and then invite questions from the committee.
Madam Chair, co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is John Phillips, the Oregon Department of Revenue. And yes, this, as Gil said, this was a bill that we introduced or we promoted in the 2007 session to temporarily fix a situation where the timber payments were down. There are two more distributions left this year for the CAFA fund in April and July, and those are the two we're talking about. The bill, as it was introduced, was really designed to help anybody in the situation that could potentially lose those last two distributions. And we've only identified at this point Klamath County as being the county that would fall into that. The Dash 1 amendment actually expands it to the next year, which begins July 1, 2012, and it does make the changes that Alex talked about. Our biggest concern is that a county will provide less than adequate services in the valuation area, particularly because this is where the taxpayers suffer and the local governments suffer, because getting new property on the tax rolls, new permitted property, counties have fallen behind as many as years in observing a permit, getting that new value on the roll, and then taxable value is lost, and it's actually locked in because of Measure 50 into a lower amount, if at all. So there's a lot to be really lost by what we might term deferred maintenance in this area, so we're very concerned about that. Our other main concern is that we would have to comply with the law and actually move into a county and take over that valuation function. I know the counties would welcome us, you know, because we're the department and they love us, but we actually don't do that as part of our business, and the counties do, and they're good at it. And even with more money, we probably wouldn't do anywhere near the job. So one of our goals is to not have to ever go to a county and do their function for them. So we think this is we hope this does not distract anyone from the main point of this whole exercise, is to find a solution for the funding issues in counties. But this will at least help those counties get by for the next, almost 18 months. Thank you.
Committee members, this is what I call between a rock and a hard place kind of a bill. There are no good options. Questions for these folks? Thank you very much. Anyone else like to weigh in on this? Committee members, yes, Alex.
Madam Chair. Thank you again, Alex Kyler. I wanted to bring one more thing in that letter to your attention, is that this assessor in Lane County speaks to this CAFA fund amounting to about 20% of her budget. When CAFA was established, it was actually, I think, more in the neighborhood of 32%, 34%. And as over the years, that percentage in most counties, my understanding is that CAFA fund has actually been shrinking as a percent of local budgets. There has been some work in the past to try to identify new sources of funding to sort of reinvigorate the CAFA fund. Some of those measures, I think, actually came in front of this committee in the past, and it may well be that there is an effort to rejuvenate those discussions to try to figure out how to bolster the CAFA fund, and that may be one of the solutions that's, or a piece of a solution that's brought forward in 2013.
Thank you. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I should have asked this before John left, but the linkage between the A&T function on the one hand and the CAFA account on the other seems to be delayed. That's probably the understatement. So perhaps you can refresh my memory at least of why is the linkage between the two, and what impact, if any, does this reduction in funding of the assessment and taxation element of a county's operations have upon the CAFA account?
You want to restate the question as you understand it, because I'm not sure if I understood the question.
John Phillips of the department, I think. Let me try, and then you can redirect me. First of all, there are two sources for the CAFA fund primarily. One is the delinquent interest at a certain amount of the delinquent interest, and then the recording fee. And this goes into a fund, and it's collected at the county, and the county then sends that money to us or to the Treasury once every quarter. And then, so that's a quarterly thing. And then every year in the late spring, early summer, the county is certified to us their expenditures for the upcoming year. They say, we're going to spend X amount on assessment and taxation. And we review the certification, and we say, you qualify for the grant, you can participate. So then as of July 1, they're in the program. And then quarterly, they'll get a distribution from that CAFA account. I think it's April, July. Anyway, there's four distribution dates. And it does lag. And now, what part of it did I miss?
Follow? You didn't miss any of it. There is no link. It's just a means of forcing the counties to do their job. So the fact that we're allowing them to continue to participate fully in the CAFA account, it's just a function of how we try to make sure we still, as a state, get this exercise accomplished. And this the threat was, if you didn't do it, we were going to take away some of your CAFA money. That was the threat. There was no link. So the proper answer is, Chief Representative Vance, there is no link. It's just a threat. And we're going to take that threat away because you're broke. Is that a correct summary of where we are?
Madam Chair, Representative Bence, let me just suggest one possible change to that, and that is a county can certify X dollars, and we would look at that and say, oh, okay, that would be an adequate level of assessment and taxation function. But we don't really peg that number and say, well, you could really certify X minus and get this and still qualify. So in many cases, counties certify above what is the actual adequate level. And so then making an adjustment midterm, it's hard for us to actually peg a number specifically. So they may be more than adequate. Like, for example, I can remember a couple years ago, Baker County said, we're missing a lot of new property, and if we had two more appraisers, we could pick up X millions of dollars. And so the commissioner said, do it. So they actually increased their expenditures and generated a lot more revenue. Now, that doesn't always happen, but they certified what might be considered way above the adequate level for that particular year. So it does happen. But, yes, it is true that, as you say.
Further comment?
Only that I wish you wouldn't use Baker County as the example.
They did a wonderful job.
Yes. For the assessment function, I'm not sure about the taxpayers.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Further questions? Committee members, we do not have you will note that this has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. We do not have the paperwork yet on this to move it today, so this will be held over until Wednesday. Okay. So I'm, without further discussion, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 4177 and open a public hearing on House Bill 4175.
House Bill 4175, in a nutshell, it is a permissive bill, tries to give permission to the counties to use federal money that accumulates in the road fund for law enforcement, for road law enforcement. This bill kind of amends an existing law, and the existing law is probably not new, should not be too new in front of your eyes. We had a bill similar to this last session. That's the 2011 session. That was Senate Bill 443. And in the 2007 session also, there was also a Senate bill that puts the same type of idea in Senate Bill 808. Now, those bills basically extended the sunset. There is a sunset provision on these allowances. Thus, both Senate bills passed. Last session, it came through the Senate Revenue and then House Revenue, and it passed by only one vote against. The co-chair didn't like it at that time. So I asked the Legislative Council to be here present today just in case to be able to explain all these difficulties, if there is needs to be any questions.
Okay. Questions of Madison? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is this limited only to the road fund portion, or could you actually take, because I'm noticing on the analysis it says there is the potential that some counties would choose to reduce the amount of money being directed to school funds to provide for this. Is there a firewall between the road funds and the school funds?
Madison, would you like to answer that?
I think that's probably part of the things that are not completely clear. The way the funds come is they're split between 25% for schools and 75% for county roads. The way the bill is written is it takes, I think, the analysis that you're looking at, you're probably looking at the fiscal analysis from the fiscal office.
Yeah.
And I think that analysis was looking at the main bill, and the main bill, or the bill as introduced, has the ability to go back all the way to the 2007 time of distribution of those funds to the counties, and I think that's what they were talking about. The Dash 1 amendment you also have in your packet. The Dash 1 amendment looks at the whole process a little differently than this. It takes out all the discussion about Lane County and Douglas County, and then reformats the whole issue into a more inclusive way for the counties. So it puts Curry, Douglas, Josephine, Clackamas, and then allows it only to be a loan, interfund loan. So they will take a loan from the from the road fund and then repay it in 2 years down the line. So the analysis is slightly different with those two types.
And maybe we can pursue this further with Legislative Council when they come up. I just don't think our schools are in a place to lend money to state troopers right now.
Could we, you have council here?
Yes.
Could they come forward and discuss this for us?
We're looking at the Dash 1, I think.
We are looking at the Dash 1, members of the committee, so you know.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Berger, Co-Chair Berger, and members of the committee. First of all, in correction
For the record,
oh, I'm sorry. My name is Gordon Howard, Legislative Council.
Thanks.
For the record, one correction for what Mazen said is the law is the proposed amendments as written would allow either a permanent transfer or a loan, not just a loan. From the road fund. Yeah, that's an answer to your question, Representative Gelser. This deals entirely with the road fund portion of the secure payments and does not, at least the Dash 1 amendments do not allow any transfer from school funds that from the secure county, the name of the federal bill. It only deals with the road fund and the portion of the monies that are going to roads. It doesn't affect the portion that are going to schools.
And that is in the Dash 1 amendment?
Yes.
And that is what is under consideration. And I didn't make that clear.
All right. And that is clearly different from the bill itself. Would it make any sense to have some clear language that states that, that education funds may not, that, that the portion of the education funds may not have a Dash 2 that's identical and have a very clear firewall?
Well,
I don't know that it's necessary.
To the chair, Representative Gelser, I believe the original bill also talked only about the road fund. It says only the county's road fund and monies that are deposited into that, and the existing state statutes clearly delineate that a portion goes to the road fund and a portion goes to the schools fund, and so this would not impact the schools fund at all.
And to follow up, Madam Chair, I think where I'm getting confused is the fiscal impact statement says, for counties with funding available, the bill simply creates a funding flexibility for these law enforcement activities in the future, but there is the potential that some counties would choose to reduce the amount of monies being directed to school funds to provide for it. Allowing the provisions to apply to past years may allow counties to backfill prior general fund expenditures for the patrolling activities from the road fund as well.
However, this amendment does not allow for past years.
Correct.
I think we need a new fiscal impact statement.
Okay. And that's, Madam Chair.
Make that very clear.
Madam Chair, that would help me. I am not prepared to support anything that takes dollars out of our schools.
And for the same reason, we won't be moving this bill, and we will be getting new paperwork on the Dash 1 amendment.
Okay.
And I think that we can take it that we need to be very clear in this, in our paperwork.
Right.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, if I could,
yes.
Madam Chair, thank you. When the issue was discussed in the Joint Committee on County Funds, there was nothing contemplated about the school fund at all. The school fund and the road funds are separate, become separate from each other at an earlier stage in the statutory scheme of things, don't they? So that by the time we get to this bill, we're only talking about the road fund.
Co-Chair Berger, Representative Barnhart, that's correct. Earlier in the statutes, the money is divided between roads and schools, and then once it gets into the road portion of it, a portion of that could be used for the law enforcement purposes, either permanently or through a loan.
Could I just comment on that,
yes,
piece?
Yes, please.
Some of the counties believe that they might be in a position where they can actually repay this money to the road fund. So, as I understand it, they have asked for the authority to either expend the funds in accordance with the first part of the bill or to borrow it in Section 4 or 5 from the road fund and then repay it at their discretion. I think that's what this bill, what the Dash 1 does, I think, it doesn't it?
Chair Berger, Representative Barnhart, you are correct. That's what it does.
Any further questions to our counsel? Thank you very much for being here. We have a couple of other folks who'd like to speak on this. Mike MacArthur and Alex Kyler again. You want to go first this time, Alex? Or
no, I think I'll let Mike go first. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair Berger, Co-Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. Mike MacArthur, Association of Oregon Counties. You've heard the setup on this. Federal law designates the use of the Secure Rural Schools National Forest Funds for schools and roads. State law divides that 25% to schools, 75%. So that segregation happens at the treasurer level. After the taxes are collected, but treasurer segregates those funds, sends the county the 75% for the roads, and sends the school district the 25% for the schools. So there's no intermingling of those funds at that point. This is a temporary provision that some counties are asking for to get them through until other revenues can be found. It's not a solution. It's more like a tourniquet. If you consider the analogy. There are activities at the federal level. Some counties are pursuing local options. most of this money has to do with public safety, and state law has defined road-related as including road patrol in the case of two counties. We have three other counties that are facing severe crises in public safety. The first thing to go in public safety is your road patrol. And so this is a way to keep the officers employed until other revenues can be found. In public safety, there's quite a lag time between the time you can hire, get trained, and all that. So it's very inefficient to lay people off, find new money, bring them back. This will allow Curry County, for instance, we heard testimony that they are laying off half their general fund employees as of July 1st, if nothing, or even sooner, if nothing changes. So this would allow Curry County to maintain the semblance of some sort of public safety program with road patrol. They are the ones that identified the loan provision that Representative Barnhart referred to. So we're asking that you just expand the current law as the dash ones do to include Klamath County, Josephine County, and Linn County is asked to be made part of this too, and Curry County. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We'll let Alex
speak first. Chair Berger, Co-Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Alex Kyler, Lane County's Intergovernmental Relations Manager. Lane County has been doing this particular provision since the legislature first allowed it in 2009. We were reauthorized, sort of had the sunset on this extended during the 2011 session. We have been, since that time, transferring about $2 million a year out of the road fund and over to Sheriff Patrol for the purposes of patrolling county roads. I want to be clear, we don't get into funding the jail with these dollars. We don't get into funding parole and probation with these dollars. These are for patrol purposes. It does take a degree of cooperation between the Public Works Department and the Sheriff to make that transfer, but it's been working really rather smoothly for us. We're actually going to be reducing this year. Mike spoke to how this is really not a solution. I mean, we're seeing those funds declining, as I indicated. Secure Rural Schools funding is now sunset, but this year we will transfer about $900,000 in support of Sheriff Patrol. So it's still a good... it's still a good tool for us, and I do want to be clear so that there's no question. These are not gas tax or fuel tax, vehicle registration dollars. These are actually dollars that originate from the United States Forest Service and are transferred under, it's 294, 293, at the legislature's discretion to fund roads and schools. And the legislature made that 25-75% distinction many, many years ago. And that's the piece that we are transferring, is those dollars from federal forest revenue that are not school related. They're just for that road purposes. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
I have a couple. By my reading of the Dash 1 amendment, it is actually four more counties that are being added here. And maybe Mazin is the best to answer this question, but what other counties receive these funds who are not given the flexibility to, and who's in and who's out and why? I was not part of the work group, but...
Madam Chair, we've been consulting with the counties to see who might possibly use this. We have a chart that shows who has at least 1 year or more of road funds in reserve. These counties, minus Josephine, are eligible in that regard. The other counties either don't have those funds in reserve or don't have the need to make that transfer right now. They are able to scrape by somehow. So these are the counties that are requesting it. Josephine has about a third of a year's road reserve available to it. So while it is one of the list of counties, how useful that's going to be is questionable.
I think the answer to your question, Madam Chair, is a lot of counties do get these funds, but obviously not all of them request that. 31, I guess, out of the 36?
33 out of the 36
Receive some sort of secure rural schools.
Right. Okay.
if I may.
Yes, sir.
That Segura Rural Schools Fund is related to the historic production of timber, isn't it?
Madam Chair, Chair Barnhart, yes, that's true.
Right, and if I could follow up on that, there are really only a few counties that got very substantial amounts of money through that mechanism. I know Lane County probably was the largest one in the country, at least for some years, and therefore maybe the most effective. But I know some of the southwestern counties are in very similar boats. Other counties got some, but the amount was pretty small for some of them.
Sir. Madam Chair, Co-Chair Barnhart, yes, Lane County, at the height of the program, was receiving almost over $40 million, as was Douglas. Those are the two largest. Even Clackamas County got $10 million, so it's spread over those 33 counties in varying amounts.
Thank you.
Go ahead,
Alex. Representative Berger, Representative Barnhart. The issue is, and I indicated we only transferred a small portion of that, although we did have a lot, but we were spending road fund dollars every year on projects.
Mm-hmm.
And within those dollars were these federal forest dollars. So what I think the issue here when Mike speaks to what's in reserve is that when we looked at what we actually had in reserve and what were actually unspent federal forest dollars, they were not at those substantial amounts that you've talked about, the historic amounts, because we've been spending those every year. So really we've tried to be, only spending those dollars that would be considered saved.
Right, and if I could, the reason I raised the issue at all was to kind of respond to my co-chair's question about why it was that other counties weren't on the list, and I think part of why they aren't is in part a function of how many dollars are actually in this mechanism available to them.
Madam Chair, Co-Chair Barnhart, there are some commissioners here behind me that could speak to that if you'd like to hear from it.
I don't see anyone rushing forward to want to speak to that. We can have a sidebar on this whole issue at some later time. We are not be moving this amendment today anyway. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Any further questions by the committee? Again, under consideration is the Dash 1 amendment, and we do not have the paperwork again. So, committee members, this will be back on Wednesday, and I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 4175. That exhausts our agenda. I am quoting from my, but committee members, I would caution you that things will be moving very fast. Senate bills are coming over and some of them will be, time is short, so some of them will be moving quickly. Check your agendas, please. Thank you. We are adjourned.